I'd like to share with you from the Word of God from Hebrews chapter 1. Would you grab your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, the first three verses? In history, early Christians were very aggressive in sharing their gospel, so much so that they were changing the world. All you really need to do is look at our hospital system, our educational system, our welfare system, and our legal system, and all of them stem from the fact that Christians were out there sharing the gospel, not only in word, but in deed also. But in this 20th century, things have changed. Christianity is on the retreat. Our laws are no longer biblically based. Jesus has been expelled from our educational system. God has been removed from our governmental programs. And in public, pastors are asked not to pray in Jesus' name. And our children are being taught that life is caused by natural sources. The book of Hebrews was written to early Jewish Christians who lacked directions to withstand the wave of traditionalism. Just like today, our Christians lack the direction to be able to withstand the wave of naturalism. And what it does is it erodes the basis of their faith so that their foundation in God is eroded. Like early Christians, led astray by the philosophy of tradition disguised as religion, Christians today are often led astray by the philosophy of naturalism disguised as science. And the result is a loss of assurance. Assurance in God's power, assurance in the fact that God causes things, assurance in the ability of God to be able to speak into their lives. Turn with me then to Hebrews chapter 1. There in Hebrews chapter 1 we read, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven." In today's world, we see two philosophical theories. I shouldn't call them theories. Two philosophical interpretations of life. The first interpretation you understand very well is creation, where we talk about an intelligent designer who created and designed and created all things. In verse 2 here of Hebrews, it says, "God through Jesus made the universe." Now, this infers two things. It infers, first of all, that the universe had a beginning, and second, that it was created. Naturalism is the other philosophy, and naturalism is that all things exist because of natural causes. 2,000 years after the book of Hebrews was written, the scientific community still believed that our universe had no beginning, that it was ageless. Still believe that it was unchanging, in a steady state. Then, in 1910, Albert Einstein published his theory of relativity. And in his theory of relativity, he said that our universe was neither ageless or steady state, and that the universe could be quantified and described by a mathematical formula. And that began a crack in the old system. Then in 1929, Hubble, as he gazed at the stars in the sky, noticed a red shift in the light. Whichever direction he looked, it all had a red shift. Now this meant that the universe was expanding. And when Hubble took this information and began extrapolating it backwards, he came to the place where the universe had a beginning. But it wasn't until 1969 that the cosmic background radiation was discovered. Now, what that is that's the echo of the Big Bang. And when that was discovered, science finally accepted that the universe had a beginning and that it was expanding. And science now saw creation very much, or the creation of our universe, very much similar to what we see in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says that in the beginning, God created all things. And this God who created all things wants to communicate with us. In the beginning, God spoke, and it was. And today, God is still speaking. In the past, God spoke. If he hadn't spoke, it would have been a very dark universe. And most non-Christians are living in this dark universe. Now, when you talk to an astrophysicist, he talks about dark. He means that you cannot see. He also means that very little is known about it. For instance, dark energy or dark matter. For a Christian, dark means cannot see God and know very little about God. And we lose faith that God speaks. Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." You see, God has spoken, and he's spoken in many times, in many ways. God spoke to our forefathers through prophets. To Samuel, while he was lying in bed, he heard a voice. To David, he had a vision. To Joseph and Gideon, they had a dream. To Lot and Jacob, they were visited by an angel. But in these last days, Scripture tells us, in these last days, to us, he speaks by his Son. I would like to share with you that you can strengthen the foundation of your faith by listening to God speak. Let us then go into Hebrews chapter 1. In verse 2 it says, "But in these last days God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir to all things." God speaks through Jesus. What are the last days? Well, you have the covenant times during Adam and Eve. You have the you have the creation time during Adam and Eve. You have the covenant time during Noah. You have the law time during Moses. And you have the last time from the time that Jesus was born on this earth until today. These are the last times. We are living in the last times. In Scripture, it tells us that at the end of the last times, the Son will return. But this is not to return to deal with sin, but to deal with eternal life. In these last times, God sent his Son, it says. He could have sent a servant. He could have sent a messenger. There are other ways that God could have spoke. He could have used natural means like lightning and thunder or a personal big booming voice out of heaven. But he chose to speak to us through his Son, Jesus. So where is it then that we can find the answers to life, the answers to those questions that we most need to know? Jesus. And this Jesus has an important message for us. That message, it deals with the restoration of relationship with us and himself. And furthermore, he tells us that God has done all the work that is needed. The Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Why then should we listen to Jesus? Well, it says here in Hebrews that he was appointed heir of all things. Everything belongs to him. It says here in Hebrews, he made the universe. He literally, everything was created by him. It says here that he is the radiance of God's glory. And that means the brightness of God's glory. And when you look at the sun, you don't really see the sun. You see the brightness of the sun, but you know the sun is there. And so when you see Jesus, he is the brightness of God's glory. And then it tells us that he is the exact representation of God's being. He is God. And that he sustains all things by the power of his word. God is powerful. See, you need to listen to Jesus. How do we listen to Jesus? Well, first, through reading his book, his words. Second, through time of personal prayer. Third, through a quiet meditation on his word. And when we do these things, we hear the silence, we hear the quiet, soft voice of Jesus speaking. Second, God speaks through creation. It says here in chapter 1, verse 2, and through whom he made the universe, sustaining all things by his powerful word. One of the things I really enjoy doing in the summer is when I get out to the trailer to lay on the grass and to look up at the stars in the sky, there are literally millions of stars on a beautiful night. David writes in the Psalms, Psalm 19, there starting at verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day they ponder forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all of the earth, their words to the end of the world. You know, we stare into the night sky, especially on a beautiful, dark, clear night. You could see approximately 11 million stars. That's a lot. But in our galaxy alone, there are 250 billion stars. And if we want to go to the known universe, there's 200 billion galaxies with a star density of someplace between 100 billion stars to a trillion stars each. That is a lot of stars, more stars than the sands on the beaches in all of our world. God made every star. He created the energy that is in them. Can you imagine how powerful he is? Most people have a picture of a God that is too small. God is powerful enough to meet every need that you have. Paul writes to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. He writes, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Now, what can we learn from creation? Well, when we look out that and we see these numerous stars, the immense, unfathomable power of God. We can also see the depth of his intelligence and his understanding. We can see his organizational skills. All of these things go far beyond what our mind can even imagine. Our picture of God is way too small. God is saying, I am bigger than all your needs. And not only that, God has a purpose. I'll take you to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. There, Paul writes, For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. You see, he has a purpose in this creation, and that purpose has to do with you and I. God created life for a purpose, and that is us. Now, could this have happened by chance? I mean, could life have just somehow happened by chance? Well, look at our universe. Our galaxy is in what is called a valley, meaning on this side you have a very active universe. on this side, you have a very active universe. If our solar system had been in either of those areas, we would not have survived. But in the center, there is this section, the Milky Way, which is a very tame galaxy. Perfect. We are right in that habitable zone of the active nature of the galaxy. Now, we look at our galaxy itself. Our solar system, it's in a very small habitable zone of our galaxy. Any closer to the center of our galaxy, and the black hole that's in the center, the radiation from it would literally destroy all life on Earth. Or any further out on the wing that we are on, and the radiation from space would destroy life. Our solar system is right in that habitable zone. Or when you look at the Earth itself, in our solar system, our Earth is in a very narrow habitable zone. Any closer to the sun, it would be a desert. Any further away from the sun, it would be a nice planet. But we are in the Goldilocks zone. Or if the moon changed its orbit just a little bit, tides twice a day would cover the Earth. Or if it tilted on its axis, which is 23 degrees, if it changed just a small part, one half of the Earth would be ice, the other half would be desert. I could go on and on and on. What it is that we live in an extremely inhospitable universe. And yet we are in the sweet spot. We are in the sweet spot of the sweet spot of the sweet spot of our universe where life exists. Who holds all things just in that right place? You really only have two choices. One, dumb luck. I mean, naturalism. Everything exists by chance, by nature. Or two, Jesus, an intelligent creator who holds all things just in the right place to support life. The third thing that way God speaks is God speaks through the work of Christ on the cross. It tells us here in verse 3 that he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. It doesn't sound that important, but if you ever had the opportunity to go through a Jewish temple, especially in the Old Testament temples, you would find, although there's some furniture in it, there are no chairs. You never saw the priests sitting down. Their work was never done. They were busy day in, day out. And the sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, literally rivers of blood, flocks of animals. Oh. And all this to cover sin. They couldn't remove our sin, but they could cover it so that we could enter into a relationship with the God who created us. No matter how much blood was shed, it never removed the sin of man. And that was a problem. It only covered the sin. The sin was still there. It had not gone away. Hebrews chapter 10, the writer here in Hebrews, beginning verse 1, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. But Jesus, he came to take away sin, to take away our sin so we could be in a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. The Apostle John, who saw Jesus coming, he repeated these words, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice who took away our sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 through 26, there the writer writes, For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one, he entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. But now he has appeared once and for all at the end of the age to take away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. John understood this work that Jesus did. And he records the words of Jesus on the cross. It says that Jesus said, "It is finished." Meaning that as he gave up his life, that he had finished the work of salvation. The book of Hebrews tells us here that he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty. Why could he sit down? Because his job was finished. He finished the job that God had sent him to. It was complete. It was done. There was no more to do. Nothing left except to sit down. See, Jesus is saying that the problem of sin has been solved. Our eternal future is guaranteed by his work. Now we can experience God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. God is speaking. We need to listen. God is speaking through his Son. God is speaking through the creation that we live in. God is speaking through the work on the cross. And what he's telling us is that he has the power to change our lives. Lean on God. He's telling us that he can meet all our needs. Put your trust in him. He's telling us that he can speak into your very life. Follow him. Our view of God is often too small. May the Lord bless you. Amen.